Hi, and welcome to our CICM podcast. Today we are joined by our corporate partner Menzies, who will be discussing the current insolvency landscape and what credit managers can expect to see over the next 6 months. I will now pass you over to Beth.
Thanks, Tom. So my name's Beth Evans. I'm an insolvency practitioner and partner at Menzies, heading up creditor services. I've got with me today Giuseppe Parla, senior manager and driving force within our creditor services team, together with my fellow partner and insolvency practitioner, Simon Underwood. We thought we'd talk to you today about the economic landscape, trends, key developments in the business recovery industry of late, and what credit managers need to be looking out for in the coming days, weeks, and months. So, where are we right now economically? Well, we've recorded the biggest slump for 300 years at 9.9% in 2020. I'm not entirely sure how these things were measured 300 years ago, but there we go. It's certainly been big in 2020. And earlier this week, it was revealed that unemployment had risen to 5.1%, all looking a bit doom and gloom. But with the vaccine rollout underway and Mr. Johnson's roadmap, the population have a little bit more of a spring in the step, and we may see green shoots and recovery by the summer. Despite the business pages being full of doom and gloom, and having thought this time last year we'd see a torrent of business failures, the insolvency statistics for 2020 are pretty flat, and the UK government are somewhat congratulating themselves on that. Simon, what are your thoughts on the insolvency statistics and the economy and everything that's right now?
So thanks, Beth. I think it's fair to say that when you look at the statistics for 2020, the numbers actually look good in favour of the government and the expectations it had in terms of protecting the economy by reference, particularly to the Corporate Insolvency and Governance Act 2020, but also the various interim and support measures that Rishi Sunak in particular put forward to support the economy and business across the whole of the UK. So when the government faced the kind of historical analysis of what happened, they'll certainly be able to say that the statistics look good. But we need to really understand some of the underlying issues in relation to those numbers. So the interim measures that came about as a result of the SIGA 2020 are that at the moment it's not possible to present winding up petitions against companies other than in circumstances where you can show that the company is not impaired by dint of issues not associated with the pandemic, which makes it frankly impossible to proceed on that basis. Directors are protected from wrongful trading. So again, directors are being given a strong message to continue the business, whatever the circumstances. And obviously one of the most substantial financial measures has been the furlough scheme support, which helps to make the payroll cost whilst businesses are in lockdown. So the numbers look good, but I think the underlying details are going to be challenging. And I think it's not going to be as rosy as we hope it is. And in fact, looking into the future, I have my own concerns. But hopefully that's a flavour of my thoughts, Beth.
Thanks, Simon. I mean, in terms of, industries that have been particularly hard hit, we've really seen the leisure, hospitality industries, non-essential retail being really hard hit, particularly by the sort of the opening up and locking down again that we've seen over the course of the year. We've got glimpses of optimism and maybe a little bit of stability and certainty on the horizon, especially given Mr. Johnson's roadmap that he's laid out earlier this week. What do you think we're really going to see in the months ahead? Have you got any insights for us there?
So I think it's fair to say that the hospitality and retail sectors across the UK are significant contributors to GDP. Whilst the retail sector has been able to survive and develop, particularly in the online areas, the traditional retail space has struggled in lockdown, and hospitality has frankly been on its knees. But I would like to think we'll see improvement over the coming months. I think the roadmap is useful, certainly in terms of social media and chit-chat. There's the excitement of the dates when people are going to be able to return to drinking, initially on park benches with a friend and then groups of six. And then hopefully by the time we get to May and June, there'll be a normal service would have resumed. But these key milestones and these key steps are going to have their own challenges. We've seen a lot of CVAs in the hospitality sector in particular. And interestingly, we've seen recently some of those CVAs, which in fact started almost pre the pandemic, have now been followed up with companies going into administration. I think businesses need to time their reopening with a viable footfall and viable revenues, because you're going to need to have revenue to replace the grants that have to date been available. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think businesses, again, in the owner-managed SME space need to understand how they want to position their businesses in terms of where they're owed money by creditors. You've got two scenarios in particular that I refer to. You've got what I call your first and second loss. So you'll have a situation where, as a business, someone fails to pay your invoices by dint of going into a CVA or going through a pre-pack administration. You clearly have limited your recovery for the old debt. But I think people also need to look to the future in terms of the associated sales revenue that's attached to trading relationships. So when people who you previously traded with go into a process, what's your attitude going to be in relation to trading with them going forwards? Are you going to blacklist them, or are you going to revise the credit terms? Are you perhaps going to reduce the credit that you extend? And maybe even, are you going to increase your prices when you, if you do decide to trade with them? So sector-wise, hospitality and leisure, travel are the ones that are going to be most interesting. I think professional services have probably held their own in the current environment. But I don't think we should lose any sight that the challenges in many ways are yet to come as the support measures are rolled back, which inevitably we'll hear more about following, obviously, Prime Minister on the 22nd of February, but when the Chancellor delivers the budget on the 3rd of March, which may or may not be before or after this podcast is broadcast, but be interesting to see what happens.
Absolutely. It's all very interesting, and a lot of us have not seen, well, none of us have seen anything like this in our lifetime. So be very interesting to see how it all pans out. I mean, in terms of formal procedures and the likes of the CBA or the administration, do you think that we're going to see a lot of those, or do you think that maybe we're going to see more reasoned negotiation between parties?
I think we're going to see a number of solutions. So we've got obviously CVAs and administrations, which have been around for a number of years. And I think their relevance is going to remain high. The Corporate Insolvency and Governance Act 2020 also introduced monitorships and a restructuring process. I have to say that my personal view is I think the take up on those will be limited for lots of reasons. But I think you're right in alluding to the fact that a number of solutions will actually be negotiated settlements with key suppliers and key stakeholders. And I think it's important that people understand the approach, certainly from a credit management perspective, of what's the approach you're going to take. Are you going to engage more closely with the other parties that you transact with and continue to support them, or ask them to support you and collaborate, which may or may not work, and we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that there's the sort of the will to do it, but there's also the challenges that all businesses face. So certainly from historical recessions, it's not been a case necessarily of not wanting to support third parties. It's actually not being able to support third parties because your own finances aren't strong enough to provide the support. If you're going to have a collaborative approach, then great. I think you'll establish long-lasting business relationships. But alternatively, if you're in a position where actually you want the strong message to be that if people don't pay, then maybe you need a fairly clear policy and set out your stall so that you don't waste too much time decision making, where actually the answer is no, we're going to pursue for our debt in full. A little bit, as I describe, as the kind of American Express approach to credit control. People expect you will pay American Express, and if you don't, the risk is that they'll want to make you bankrupt. So there's some interesting things there, but I think there'll be a lot of stuff outside of the formal insolvency space, and we shouldn't lose sight of that.
Thanks, Simon. In terms of the business recovery world, we've seen some changes over the last year, and you've already mentioned that we've seen the SIGA, Corporate Insolvency and Governance Act, being brought in with a number of changes there. But we also saw a return of the Crown preference for insolvencies post the 1st of December 2020, and this is something that has been around before, but we've had a break from it for circa 20 years, and it's now back again. I wonder, Giuseppe, if you could talk us through what this Crown preference is all about.
Yeah, that's right, Beth. Believe it or not, I do remember when the preferential creditors were around the first time. So. Yes, they've returned now as a second ranking preferential creditor behind the employees' claims. Now, the employees' claims that ranks as preferential is the arrears pay and holiday pay, but the preferential creditor of HMRC will be for anything owed for PAYE, employees at NIC or VAT. So as you can imagine, it can be quite a sizable debt. For corporation tax and employers NIC, they will remain as a unsecured creditor. So as you can imagine, for a secured creditor, the bank lending the company money, it's going to have some significant impact. I think if the bank is lending under a fixed and floating charge, there's two ways to look at it. If there's assets secured by way of a fixed charge, there's no impact by this preferential status returning. However, if they've got the security under a floating charge asset, then any recoveries will be after the preferential creditors have been paid in full, and there'd be that prescribed part pot as well set aside. So that certainly can influence what the bank will do going forwards. Review of lending criteria, and obviously bank lending could well become more expensive. Equally concerning is the impact this is going to have on the unsecured creditors, because they are now pushed further down the pecking order, and therefore any dividend that they would have received pre 1st of December 2020 is now going to shrink further. So this is because obviously they're paid after any insolvency charges and costs. The larger preferential creditor pool is now growing. So there's an impact for all of us here, and we've just got to be careful. But one thing to take away, people like credit insurers, their product's going to have to change, because they rely upon a policy here where they get paid a dividend by standing in the shoes of the creditor. Now, if this pot is reducing, one can only assume that their costs are likely to go up and potentially the market shrink further for the credit insurance suppliers.
Thanks, Giuseppe. Like you say, the Enterprise Act back in 2002 abolished this this Crown preference, and in its place was put the prescribed part or this pot of money ring fenced for the unsecured creditors, so that the idea being that HMRC weren't going to lose out. But now we're back to a position where we've still got the prescribed part for unsecured creditors. So HMRC will still be able to take part in that. But on top of that, they've got their preferential status back. So in a way, it's an illustration of how you can very much have your cake and eat it, possibly to the detriment of other creditors. What do you think credit managers really need to sort of be looking out for in the coming days and months? I mean, Simon already alluded to or told us about the budget that's coming out on the 3rd of March, possibly after this podcast or before this podcast. Who knows? What do you think credit managers need to be looking out for?
Yeah. So Simon alluded to a point earlier about working collaboratively together, and I think we all need to really consider our collection policies. So at the moment, there's probably quite a lot of forbearance being shown, and we're giving our customers a bit more time to pay. So do we continue with that strategy, or do we start to revert to a far more harsher approach perhaps? Now, the SIGA reform has stopped us from having the tool of a statutory demand, but this will return at some point. So do we get ready to slam down the hammer as soon as this is available? Obviously it can have its consequences and potential PR issues, but yes, I think we're all going to be with bated breath on Mr. Sunak's update next week to see what's going to be extended and potentially what's going to return. What I would say, something that's been brought to my attention by a few solicitors now, we could consider an administration route, because whilst the SIGA restricts us from winding up a company with a stat demand, what it doesn't do is stop a creditor perhaps going down the administration process. Now, it is a bit more expensive. It does require an insolvency practitioner consenting to act and the administration purpose being able to be achieved. But it's a very good option to have, and a potential good bargaining tool to use as a potential threat, perhaps.
Thanks, Giuseppe. Yeah, it's not something that we see a huge amount of, but certainly something that creditors can consider, depending on the level of their debt, their appetite for risk, and costs, and indeed, you know, like both you and Simon have said, their policy for collecting cash. You know, it may be that they have that they're going to be taking a very hard stance in terms of non-payment, and that might be because cash requirements of the business that they're operating in require them to take that very hard stance. Alternatively, you know, a hard stance may be taken because a credit insurer requires you to take that very hard stance. I know that I've seen situations before where credit insurers have been, have pushed for action to be taken. But it's all about the art of balancing the risk profile of the customer, isn't it? And balancing the risk profile of the customer with the requirements of the business that that you are operating in, so that you can facilitate trade and maximise your revenues whilst also protecting your business. And as the economy opens up, hopefully, as the days, weeks, and months progress, and the roadmap hopefully doesn't change, and we all get a little bit more freedom, as has been laid out, that pent up demand is going to be released into the economy. We're going to see hopefully economic recovery, but at the same time we are likely to see businesses that will struggle and struggle to manage their working capital or have insufficient working capital. And I think that, you know, you're quite right, credit managers are really critical to their businesses and making sure that they manage all of those potential exposures. Thank you so much for speaking to me today. Hopefully this has been useful for those that have been listening.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks, Beth.
That's great. Thank you very much to all our guests today. For more information on CICM and Menzies, please visit cicm.com. Thank you again and goodbye.